Welcome to the Heart of Herbs Herbal School podcast, where we explore the fascinating world of herbal medicine and natural healing. I'm your host, Demetria Clark, and I'm thrilled to be your guide on this journey of discovery. At Heart of Herbs Herbal School, we're passionate about empowering individuals to harness the power of plants for health and wellness. Through our podcast, we'll dive into topics ranging from herbal materia medicas, clinical herbalism, sharing insights, interviews, tips, and wisdom to inspire and educate our listeners. Hi, this is Demetria Clark, the director of Heart of Herbs Herbal School, and you're listening to the Heart of Herbs Herbal School podcast. I'm really glad you're here. Thanks a lot for listening. We're still finding our way in doing this, so please, please, please email me any suggestions or topic ideas or anything like that. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/heartofherbs, heartofherbs.com, or Instagram, heartofherbs. So definitely connect with us if that's something that you'd like to do or you want us to talk about something specific. All right, so today we're going to be talking about materia medicas. And I know in my over 25 years of teaching herbalism, the materia medica assignment is the one that seems to drive students bananas the most. And I think it's the name. Because once you explain exactly what it is and why you need so many, they're usually like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. So to answer the question, what is a materia medica? So a materia medica is a comprehensive collection of information. That does not mean it's the end-all, be-all information about medicinal substances. In this instance, we're going to be talking about plants and other natural remedies, herbs. Some students add essential oils into their materia medica and flower essences. You can definitely do that or have something that connects with your materia medica. So if you're like, I really like using this herb in conjunction with this flower essence, you can add that information to your materia medica. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So typically it includes details such as the plant's botanical description, traditional uses, therapeutic properties, preparation methods, and potential side effects. Materia medica serve as a valuable reference for herbalists, practitioners, and individuals interested in herbal medicine. This adds to the understanding and the application of a variety and various healing plants. So, as an herbalist, your materia medica or herbalism files are very important information on herbs and actions. It's really important to create your own files, no matter how many resources you have available. No matter how easy it is to cut and paste, no matter how easy it is to look something up, it's really important that you have your own individual files. I have loved reading materia medica books since I was able to read. I found some in the library when I was really little, and additionally, the thing that first drew me to them was their beautiful illustrations. Because these were really old books back in the old book section, which is literally almost what I think they called it at the library I went to. These books with their illustrations and use of Latin names and words that I couldn't understand because they were using like woad for wood and other things like that. They inspired and taught me so much. But my own files, just as yours will show you where the true gold lies in this information, like where it lives in your files and in your information. And the reason why I say it like this is because the person whose materia medica you're reading practices a certain way, has been taught a certain way, or is from a distinct era or community or tradition. And you may not be the same as them, and you may not be working with the same kind of people that they are working with. So your files become a very individualized, personalized, and private collection of information that you have that assist people in your community, that assist people that you work with. So it's really, really important to have this individuality in your files. You can say certain things that you're not going to see in the books and make certain connections that you're not going to see in the books. So enough about that. I know it kind of went on a little bit. But these kind of files are really important. When you keep these types of files of the different herbs that you use, you record your uses, how you use them, how you suggested them, your clients' experiences. So their thoughts and their feelings about how it worked for them, how maybe they didn't like it, maybe it gave them a dry mouth, or they didn't like the way it worked with the way that they live or their diet. And you can record that information. And by recording that information, you're adding to your file. And so you can put that in your file. You can then create connections and protocols based on your clients' experiences. So you may be able to make discoveries that assist your clients or types of clients. Some people from different backgrounds who eat a different kind of diet or have different requirements for, you know, food, nutrition, or have different access to things may react to things differently. And so you can really customize your work by keeping accurate and detailed Materia Medica files. So they come in many different formats. So many students will, in my experience, and so you may be thinking this too, like, well, how do I keep all this information? How do I do this? How do I do that? You can do it in a notebook. You can handwrite everything. You can have one small notebook per herb, or you can have recipe cards, you know, the index cards. You can make databases on your computer. You can have a spreadsheet. You can have a really long text file that you add to. I have done all of those different kinds of things in my years and years of adding to my Materia Medica. I find that I like having like a really large Word document that's like alphabetical order, and then I can search in my Word document. I can leave it open and add stuff as needed. That's what really works for me, and I can add, you know, pictures to it very easily. There's lots of ways that you can do it. It's really important, though, that you also have some kind of illustration. So you're going to want to have pictures of the plant. You're going to want to have some way to identify it. Materia Medicas have existed for a very, very, very long time. So you can find fully intact scans of over 200-year-old Materia Medicas at the website archive.org. So what do you include in a Materia Medica? Well, you're going to want to include the herb. This is the name of the herb. You're going to want to list the Latin binomial and common name. So the scientific name and the common name, or the Latin name and the common name. You're going to see it listed many different ways. I use those two terms back and forth. The full names are essential for a good Materia Medica file. For example, burdock, Arsentium lapa. Common name is great burdock, gobu, goboshu, lapa, beggar's button, thorny burr, and happy major. You can see how easy it would be to have confusion with just using a common name. So some plants have similar names, and they are completely different. And there's different types of burdock too. So you want to make sure you use the common and the scientific or the Latin names. You can easily see this if you run to like a plant store or a big box store that has a plant section and look at the varieties of plants like lavender or echinacea that they sell. And you'll be like, wait, they don't sell echinacea at a big box store. Yes, they do. It's also called
the Heart of Herbs Herbal School Podcast.
Coneflower. Sorry, I lost that for a second because I always call echinacea this type, echinacea that type. Oh, that's really funny. So coneflower, there'll be yellow coneflower, white coneflower, purple coneflower, you know, and so they all have different names. And they're all different types of plants. They're all part of the Echinacea family, but they are different. So then you're going to want to detail the parts used. So what parts do you use in your formulas or in your, you know, in your teas? And some people use as much of the plant as possible, and other people only use like certain parts of the plants for certain remedies. Some people use the whole plant in remedies. Some people use, you know, just the flower. So you're going to want to detail that, because if someone else is looking at your Materia Medica, it should be like a brainless thing for them to deal with, right? They just feel like, oh, use echinacea root, blah, 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 blah. They know exactly what to use. So you're going to want to detail if it's the flowers, the roots, the seeds, the leaves, the stem. You're going to want to let people know. You can take pictures or make drawings of the plant's parts that you use for your records. If you only use one part of a plant in a certain formula for digestion, for example, then you're going to want to note that. Or if you use the whole plant for a formula for pain, right? You're going to want to note that. You're going to want to make it really clear, because although we think we're always going to remember how we made something, so students will always be like, oh yeah, I put this tincture together. It's really, really great. I didn't follow my instructions on the labeling. It's like, you know what? I'm going to always remember this. No big deal. It's only get a few plants. And they're like, ah, I don't remember what it is. Everyone has one of those moments. You get busy. You're getting ready. Oh, I just need to get this done. Blah, blah, blah. Right? My favorite words. Blah, blah, blah. But the reality is you're going to goof up. You're going to screw up. So really document as much as you can so you don't have as many screw-ups and you don't have as many opportunities or times to say, ugh, I just screwed this up. I don't know what's in it. I can't use it now. So it's really important that you label as much as possible and you add that information to your Materia Medica. Okay, another thing you're going to want to have in your Materia Medica, if you harvest the plants yourself, is the habitat. This is where you're going to list the growing conditions or the kind of habitat area in which it was harvested from. You can also list when to harvest and where to find this herb. So did you find it in a field, a swamp, off your favorite trail? You can also use this note to mention the other herbs that you found in the same area. You can drop pins on your map, like in a map app, so you know where you can find it later. If you did grow it in your own garden, you can note the growing conditions, partial shade, full shade, stuff like that. That's really important. So the point of a Materia Medica, in my mind, is to not just have your wins and losses, right, when it comes to an herb. It's how to replicate formulas, how to make sure you have the right information, how to make sure that if you find something grown in a certain condition works really, really well for you, you can replicate that for clients. And you can learn from it. You can look at your Materia Medica that you wrote 2 years before in a new perspective and update it with new information. And so it's an ever-growing and evolving plant file that changes as you, your practice, and your clients change. So what does the herb look like? So in this part of your Materia Medica file, you may want to use a picture or draw a picture of a plant. Don't worry about your artistic ability. Sometimes people get, well, I can't draw anything. It's amazing what you can figure out and use later with a rough sketch. What it is going to do is going to help you with an idea or to capture the feeling of the plant. You can take photographs, some pictures, submit. Some students will submit pictures to us. Others will paint or draw their pictures. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we have like so many fine artists, right, in our program. But it's also really funny because some people will say, I never really had any artistic ability until I started doing this and I started relaxing and just drawing the plant as I saw it. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not bad at this. I never thought I could draw before. So maybe you'll learn something about yourself too. You'll also want to write a botanical description. So the flower color, the shape, the leaf shapes, the textures, the colors, the stem shape and the texture. Sometimes you need more than a picture. If the leaf is fuzzy and you can get that in the picture, that's great, but you may not be able to get in the picture that the leaf's also sticky. That's where your descriptions come in. Have fun with your Materia Medica. This is your file. So mine, when mine are handwritten, they're full of doodles and underlining and like all kinds of stuff. Like it's just like a crazy artistic mess. And then when they're typed into the computer, they're a little bit more dry and more, you know, black text on white background kind of thing. So I like having both to look at and to reference. So you can use color coding too. When you are writing about plants, you can, you know, really, really go to town on it. And I encourage you to do that. If you're really into Materia Medicas and you love that part of herbalism, that's a whole part of herbalism that really needs to be explored by students and all levels of practitioners. Okay, so the next part of your Materia Medica is kind of exciting. It's the action. So it's like, what does the herb do? What does this herb do? Is it an astringent, a demulcent? Here's where you want to list the herbal actions. Some herbs have more than one action. So you need to note that. Or the action may be different in different body systems. That's where you're going to want to list that here. So the great thing about herbs is the more you learn, the less you almost use, right? Because you learn how one herb can have multiple uses. So a lot of people will be like, well, I use this herb for this and this herb for that. But when you start really learning more about them more deeply, you'll be like, oh, I can use this herb for this, 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 and this also. So it's really important to remember that and to value that relationship with herbs so you can kind of open and grow in that arena. Okay. So herbal actions refer to the specific effects or properties that herbs have on the body when consumed or applied. These actions describe how herbs interact with bodily systems to promote health and alleviate symptoms. So I'm just going to go over just a few common herbal actions that you've probably heard before and what they do. So hopefully this will be helpful. Adaptogenic helps the body adapt to stress and promote overall balance. All right, we've heard adaptogens everywhere now. Everyone's like adaptogen, adaptogen, adaptogen. So that is what those herbs do. Anti-inflammatory, it reduces inflammation and associated symptoms. So antimicrobial means it fights against bacteria, funguses, viruses, and parasites. Diuretics promote urine production and helps eliminate excess fluids from the body. Nervines support the nervous system, promoting relaxation or stimulation. Digestive herbs, they aid in digestion. That one's pretty self-explanatory, right? But it also supports gastrointestinal health. Immunomodulatory, they help modulate the immune system, enhancing its function and reducing hyperactivity. Analgesics relieve pain, whether mild or severe. Sedative herbs calm the nervous system and induce relaxation or sleepiness. So understanding herbal actions, and there's a lot of them, right? It will help you in selecting the right herbs to address specific health concerns and achieve desired therapeutic effects. Then you're going to want to talk about the uses. So some herbs are known as superheroes for specific issues. So everyone's been all hot and screaming about elderberry recently. Elderberry has been a friend of mine for years. I remember picking elderberry when my children were little, and we just used it like all year round as like a immune system, I don't know, enhancer, protector. We used it more as a tonic. And so the kids would have it in their like pancakes and stuff like that. As a SERP. Here's where you want to list the particular problems of the herb that is often that you may be working with, right? So you may find certain herbs work well for certain kinds of issues and circumstances, but you may also note that they don't work well in others. So this is where you're going to want to say this is good for this, but maybe not necessarily for this. And then you always have to have, when it comes to uses, that it is specific to individuals. So it starts like, what is specific to the needs of this individual, and then greater communities at large. So herbs that are rich in vitamin C can often be used the same way foods and vitamin C. So you would just, you know, have a little bit or have some, and, you know, it doesn't have to be like this big herbal protocol. And then other instances, you're going to have a more specific protocol for the individual that you're working with. So this is where you're going to want to add resources to the traditional resources and modern studies to this section. So you're going to want to also potentially send, you know, yourself links to add to your Materia Medica about specific studies on specific issues. Safety and contraindications is the next part. So look, knowing how to use an herb safely is essential. So there's like this whole like sexy thing with using like dangerous herbs. People will be like, yeah, I use this herb. It's kind of like, you know, dangerous if used wrong, but I use it right. And I don't really like that kind of stuff. Like, I like very, very safe stuff. I don't need to walk on the wild side. I don't need my clients to walk on the wild side. You know, I'd rather like, you know, take my car to a track and race around a track if I want to be on the wild side than like use herbs that, or promote the use of herbs that have potential problematic side effects and contraindications. And there's plenty of plants out there that are safe. So I'm not a huge fan of this kind of herbalism. And it's pretty small. It's not, you know, it's not a lot of people who do that kind of stuff. But, you know, I just don't see the need to like be sexy and quote, you know, different or whatever. Just use what works. Like, keep it simple. You know what I mean? Keep it so clients feel safe and that you feel safe. Really give people the information that they need. So safety information in Materia Medica is crucial to ensure the responsible use of herbal remedies and to minimize the risk of adverse effects. So here are some key safety things that should be included in your Materia Medica. Contraindications. So any conditions, medications, or situations in which the herb should not be used due to potential interactions or adverse side effects. So even if an herb is totally, totally safe, right? And your client says, when I use it with this, I feel like this, note it, right? Same with side effects. So there's known side effects or potential reactions that can occur when using an herb. These can include allergic reactions if they're allergic to the plant or the plant family, digestive upsets, interactions with other medications. There's good information out there, and then there's not so great information out there, and then there's a lot of lack of information out there. So you taking notes is how you're going to keep on top of this for your clients. So if a client is on a certain medicine and there's no known contraindications, right? There's no known side effects with use of whatever herb and their medicine, but when they do that combination, they're reporting back to you something. Note that. Find them something different to use. So it's really important that we not just rely on the information that's out there. You know, sometimes we'll find that, like, so there is a study done on a plant that's used for sweetening, right? And it said, oh, it can cause this, this, and this. And so I was like, okay, you know. And then it's like, just use sugar. Sugar's better. And I mean, so I'm totally like second grading this, right? I'm not going into a lot of detail and stuff. But then I was like, I wonder how sugar would do if it was put under the same parameters that this is done. Like if we did studies on sugar the same way we were for this plant and we didn't know anything about sugar, right? Would sugar be the sweetener of choice now? So it's just, you really have to look at a bunch of different things. For our students, we have like information on how to read a study and stuff like that. And I could do a podcast about that too. But I think like it's really important that you understand the side effects and the contraindications. Then you need to have your dosage guidelines. So the recommended dosage for the different forms of the herbs. So a tea, a tincture, a capsule, a salve, they're all going to have different recommended dosages. I always start with clients lower than average because I'm like, if it takes 2 drops for you to get the same effect as 30, why would you use 30? Like, you could build it up, you know, you can, there's all different ways you can do things, but the reality is that you just want to really be clear with clients about like dosaging guidelines. You don't want them to say, well, you know, if 10 works, then 50 will work better. I mean, that's just, you know, the way we tend to do things in our modern world. You know, if I can get someplace going 30 miles an hour, I can get there faster. If I go 180, well, 180 is going to have a lot more potential issues driving 180 down a road than going 30 miles an hour, the recommended speed limit. So definitely think about things, and maybe I need to go and do a road trip because I've referenced fun and vehicles twice now. So, but the reality is that you need to really talk to clients about this, and you need to note anything that they say. And I know I said that with the last two things, note, 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 but definitely note, note, note. And then of course, if they're pregnant or lactating and breastfeeding. So you're going to want to make sure that you have safety considerations for pregnant and breastfeeding individuals, including herbs to avoid or things that they can safely use during this time period, and caution during these time periods. Children and the elderly also have to have special considerations. Sometimes I'm surprised at people's willingness just like to give their very young children tons and tons and tons of herbs and say, well, it's natural, it's safe. And I mean, I wrote the book on herbal healing for children. So I do understand the place herbalism. I mean, herbalism is a great option for children, but the reality is that we have to apply it and come to it from the point of being an herbalist, not as someone who's using it like over-the-counter drugs. So it's really important that you understand that with children. And then, of course, drug interactions. I talked about that with the dosage guidelines and the side effects and stuff like that. So you're going to want to know if there's commonly known drug interactions. Of course, you know, you're never going to know potentially every possible interaction. So when you come across one or you see one or you hear of one, you can look it up and add it to your materia medica. And then toxicity. So what are the potential toxic effects of the herbs? What are some symptoms of overdose and precautions for safe use? You're going to want to have that information there. And then if you're working with clients, you're going to want to pass it on to them too. And then quality and sourcing. So where are you finding your herbs? Where do they come from? If you're not growing them yourself, are they, you know, high quality? Who provided the herbs that you are referencing? And then you're going to want to have that information for yourself. So when you find a reputable source, you're going to want to, you know, bookmark it or, you know, tell your materia medica, I really love such and such from this company. Because it's really important that, one, when we expect companies to give us better, they give us better. But if we don't tell them when there's a problem, they don't know. Now, don't go and like make problems where there aren't problems, right? But when you find a high quality herbal supplier, tell other people that they're high quality and they're reputable. A lot of times people will find a company that they love and they don't want to tell anyone because they don't want everyone else to know about it too. But I think it's good to share the good resources because that elevates us all. So if you really like herbs from a certain place, use that information to elevate others, because we don't want other people in our community or people interested in herbs getting information about getting things from, you know, kind of garbage providers. So there's tons of high quality herbal companies out there. So definitely, you know, let people know, let them know that you appreciate them and that you use them because they're high quality. Like, let them know, this means a lot to me and I'm your customer. They say that if you like something, you tell like a few people, but if you don't like something, you'll tell like 80 people. And so maybe you should change that. And if you don't like something, only answer, I don't like because to people who ask, and instead focus that energy on telling people the things that you really, really like. Like, I really like certain things and I let people know. And if I don't have a great experience with someone, I tend to say things like, well, there was a little bit of an issue when I ordered, but I know they were trying to make it right. Like, I really try to give suppliers and businesses that I work with the benefit of the doubt, because, you know, everybody has a bad day. So take that energy. And, you know, we've gotten in this like whole, like, you know, I'm going to order $475 worth of food and then photograph like the waitress being frustrated and trying to get things done or whatever. Like, we get too much of a, you know, a rise out of that kind of behavior instead of being like, this is why I really love this person. And I think we need to shift that, especially in such a consumer driven society. I think when businesses and companies are told what they're doing a good job, they're trying, and that you appreciate that, I think it makes the quality of everything go up. That's just me. I love telling businesses that were wonderful, that they were wonderful. I don't get anything out of it. It just, it, I know that as a customer, that when you say those things, that it makes a difference to businesses. Enough. I'm going to hop off that pony. Sorry about that. So precautions. So general precautions and considerations for safe use. You know, you may want to add that. And then if there's any legal restrictions regarding that use of that herb in the country that you're in, or you may want to like note that in your notes. If you're working with clients, you shouldn't be using or giving them anything where there's legal considerations, because you don't need to get in trouble and they don't need to get in trouble because they're working with you, right? So by including comprehensive safety information in your Materia Medica, users can make informed decisions about appropriate use, and it minimizes the risk of adverse reactions or complications. So having a Materia Medica file on the plants you use will allow you as an herbalist to keep your own records on plants and their uses and specific client uses. So there are lots of great Materia Medica books out there. There's lots of great herbal books that have Materia Medica sections. Definitely, you know, if you're a little gun shy about, you know, going and getting a ton of herbal books, right? You're into herbalism, but you don't have tons of money to maybe do education and buy tons and tons of books. Access your library. Go to the library. Check out books in the library. Try to get them as ebooks. You know, you can go to your library and get, like, there's a ton of different library apps, right? So I don't have lots of time to read because I work a lot. I work a lot, one, because I have to, and two, because I love the work that I do. So I do work probably too much, but I'm always listening to a book. So I listen to like 200 books a year, and they're all different kinds of books, and I get them through different library apps, and they're free. So your library will also get books for you. So if you're like, have like 5 herbal books that your library doesn't have, request that they get them, or that they get them through interlibrary loan. And you can look at them and check them out and read them and be like, this is one that I need to have forever. Or this is not one I need to have forever. It was a good read. I learned a lot, but I'm not going to be referencing this later. And I think it's really important to remember that even if we don't have tons of herbalism, isn't just for the rich, it's for everyone. And you can definitely find tons of resources in your community that aren't super expensive. Also, there are online Materia Medicas. You can resource those. You can create your own. You can purchase one. You can make ones with other friends that are into herbalism. So you could say, okay, like, let's each do 5 herbs a week and do it together. And then you can combine your resources and add your specific notes to each other's work as you go down the line. Herbalism can be a great community builder. You could even put together like a Materia Medica group. You can harvest and forage together. You can learn about the herbs together. There's lots of things that you can do to really increase your access to herbs and herbalism. Of course, as an herbal education provider, I'm going to say, you know, enroll at Heart of Herbs Herbal School, but you don't have to necessarily do that. There's lots of other great schools out there. And there's lots of ways that you can connect with herbalism and connect with all the herbalism offers in your community. Thank you so much for listening about Materia Medica's. I really appreciate you, and, you know, subscribe, follow, whatever it is that all the cool people are saying about listening to a podcast, because I haven't figured all that out yet. But definitely put us on your playlist and let us know how we can be of more value and more use to you. Thanks and have a great day.
Interested in learning more? Visit heartofherbs.com and enroll using coupon code PODCAST to save 20%. The content provided in this podcast is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or medical condition. It's always recommended to consult a qualified healthcare professional before making any changes to your diet, lifestyle, or health regime, especially if you have an existing health condition. Any of the financial information and advice for starting or maintaining an herbal business is just that, information. It's not used to be a guideline on how you should run your business. Contact the appropriate professionals to help you to have a successful business.